Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up half a million in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Hello and welcome to Turner's Take Podcast. I'm your host, Take newsletter. You can find me on the web at turnerstake.com or turnerstakeag.com if you're a farmer or hedger, and on Twitter at turnerstake. All my contact information is always in the show notes or on those websites. I'm a broker here at Daniels. I work with speculators, work with hedgers, broker assisted online trading. Feel free to contact anytime. Okay, so this is going to be a quick podcast. The markets here are going to be range-bound for, I don't know, until we really can start to have weather issues. I saw that Argentina bought some soybeans this morning. Some of it was actually for old crop, so that was positive. I'm sure that'll stop the bleeding here on soybeans a little bit. Corn is up too. I think July corn here looks like it's trying to make a short-term bottom. It's hugging the trend line. And I'm not surprised. You know, the market had been selling off here based on no more Argentina story. Sales have been okay, you know, but not great. And you can tell by the forecasts that the weather is eventually going to get good enough for farmers to start planting. And now that has happened. So my phone has pretty much stopped ringing over the past couple of days. And that usually means there's a lot of people in the field. So they'll be planting, and you know, the market isn't, its job isn't to sell off or price what's going on based on what's happening right now. It's all about expectations. So a couple of weeks ago, about a week or two ago, there's expectations that weather would get better and farmers would get into the field by now, and that's coming true. I think now we're looking out, and the next catalyst is what's going to go on with Brazil. I think that is really the next weather deal. As farmers in the United States planting corn acres, no one's really expecting us to be too far off from the corn acre estimates from the USDA. But what we are hearing more reports on are Brazil and basically that second crop they have down there. And it's hot and it's dry. And it's going to continue to be hot and dry. And while the crop is just moderately stressed now, the crop down there can get very stressed if this continues. I've heard talk about ridges, which if you remember from 2012, that was a huge story and how long the ridge stayed over the United States. Well, they're talking about a 10-day to 2-week ridge, just keeping things hot and dry during a pretty critical part of their season for that second crop corn in Brazil. So we're going to keep an eye on that. That could send corn back up. You know, July's at about 390 right now. I mean, in theory, we could probably go back up to maybe $4 on some renewed Brazil corn issues. And then you start getting some exports. That could be bullish, too. So crude oil has been bullish lately. There's all ethanol margins have been fantastic. So that should be bullish for the corn market also. I think corn is going to be fairly priced here, depending on what happens with planting progress in Brazil, or let's just say range-bound. You know, we'll get some down days, we'll get some up days, but you would think between $3.80 and $4 is where July corn is going to live until we get more about progress about what, you know, exactly going on with Brazil and how that weather shakes out, and also how the planting season goes here in the United States. So that's where we're watching here. I wouldn't mind on short term buying some corn in the breaks. If I'm a hedger, if I've already sold bushels or I want to buy some cheap options to sell into, I like some of the July calls out there that are 20 or 30 cents higher than the market. They'll probably be found for a nickel lower. Actually, I'm going to put it on pause here. Let's see what those options are going for right now. All right, so July corn 415 calls are under 5 cents. You know, they're 4 and change. The 420s are about 4 cents. A 430 is about 3 cents. So, yeah, that's where we are right now. I have no problem with a lot of those. And if we get the big run-up, That'll be good. It's something if you're a farmer you can sell into. If it's a farmer and you're worried, you sold bushels and you're worried about, well, what if we have a drought or some real crop issues? You don't want to miss out on a big run up. That's another way, to do it. So, and I like it from the spec side too. If you're every once in a while, guys like to take a flyer, buy a cheap option, see if something happens, during a critical, period in a commodity life cycle. July corn options pretty much fit the bill for that right now. So I do like that. I think though, at the end of the day, it's going to be Brazil weather for that second crop. It's going to be the planting for the United States. And also very important, I haven't heard a whole lot about it yet, is the WASDE. This May WASDE is going to be big. We're going to see that new crop carryout. I think December corn is going to be below 2 billion. I think that may be a potential to, a nickel or dime, a little bit higher from here. And if we want to start playing that or getting ready for it, I like Dease First Dease Corn. We're at about a 6 to 5 cent carry right now. I think we're at our pretty much our support line. And if we do have some issues with the December crop and we're projecting a lower carryout, lower acreage, we have some yield issues. I think December 18 versus December 19 can go from a carry and get inverted. So I do like that too. We are sold about 30% in Dease corn. I really don't want to get to 50% until we get a little bit more into, see if we can get a planting rally here. And then we'll usually head off into the summer, the growing period, only most 50% sold. And then if we get some great prices in the summer, we may get up to 70 or 80% sold. And then we usually like to carry over 20 to 30% of old crop. That's how we do things. And we'll always look to buy some of that back during harvest. Sometimes we can buy back where we're only 50% sold, and then use basically the fall and the winter during South American rallies to really kind of on paper or in the bin sell out the rest of old crop. So that's how we usually do it. That's how I'm going to attempt to do the marketing plan for the newsletter. Every farmer is different. Every trader is different. So I'm always happy to offer up advice depending on where you are, but just to kind of go for a guideline. I think that's how we're gonna. It's kind of what we're going to try to follow. Obviously, the market may throw you some curveballs, but that's where we're going to try to handle it. Terms of soybeans, I am still concerned about beans to the downside, but Argentina did have that sale today, helped out beans a little bit. November is still at 10:30. July is at 10:30. 4:35. So July Nov beans are only at about 4 cent. That's an interesting play. If you sold beans and wanted to re-own, July Nov beans at a 4 or 5 cent carry is definitely a very interesting re-ownership play. In terms of making sales, if you want to make sales in this market, or maybe you're just long all your grain in the field and you want a little short exposure and not have to buy puts. Bear spreading Nov 18 versus Nov 19. Right now we're at 35 cents carry. If we get to 40, 50 cents, I mean not carry inverse, 40, 50 cents, I think that wouldn't be a bad way to kind of put like a little bit of a sale or some kind of insurance to the downside if the soybean market falls apart. The thing with beans is, we're still going to have some pretty good, decent global carryouts. And new crop and old crop are projected to be, or the new crop should be projected to be pretty large too. So my concern is as we head into the WASDE in May, is that corn will go higher, but beans will go lower. I think we could still see a pretty large balance sheet for beans, bearishly so, and we could see a bullish report for corn based on the new crop supply and demand. We'll see. That's my gut feeling right now. And based on our supply and demand tables, that's where we are. And that's why for farmers out there or for traders out there, looking at the soybean market, we gotta find ways to for the hedgers out there, farmers, to protect yourself. I still like the cash market, but for the pure play speculators, it's hard to sell soybeans on the board sometimes. It gets very volatile and go against you very fast. And that's why I like those spreads and probably. It'd probably be Nov is what we're looking at. So still think that on the soybeans. Now, on the wheat market, it's good. I talked about spring wheat last week. You know, July versus September, that's still something I would take a look at if we're going to have lower acres in wheat. If we're going to end up more like going to soybeans up north, that's what we're kind of hearing. That should be bullish for that spread. What's interesting about wheat in the Kansas City wheat is that the basis is really holding up well. And the quality of the wheat isn't so great. And, you know, it seems like Kansas City wheat here is going to be supported at around the $5 level. At least until, like, early to mid-summer. That's when we'll see more of a harvest coming from Russia. And that could put pressure on the export markets. But between now and early summer, I would think Kansas City hard red wheat gets supported at these levels. So I'm kind of neutral to bullish on wheat. Some of the pictures we're getting back and the reports we're getting back of the wheat for the hard red winter wheat have not been all that great. There has been damage out there. I wouldn't be surprised to see that become more of a story over the next couple of days too. So wheat seems to be a little bullish right now. Corn seems, I think, is going to be range bound, but more to the bullish side. And beans, while they can always go up much higher, my concern really is for just the market to get sold here based on carryout. So that's where we are. There's not a whole lot else to report on the grain markets. We're kind of in a hurry up and wait mode to see how planting goes and how weather is going to go in Brazil. If anything, the most near-term catalyst is the Brazilian weather for a second crop. And over the next couple of weeks, there's going to be planting progress. So, you know, in terms, let's see if there's anything else here. I think the U.S. dollar is starting to bottom. So just to turn our way to, if you take a look at the charts, just seems like we're basing and we're gonna come around and start to bottom. I don't think that's going to be particularly bearish for the U.S. grain markets, but we're kind of breaking out here. We've had some lower, basically making some higher lows since the beginning of the year. We had a lot of resistance at 90.20, and it looks like we've now broken out of this bottom formation. So I think the U.S. dollar could get a little bit stronger. Another macro market that can affect the grain markets is crude. I think crude oil in the $60 is actually quite a pretty fair price. I don't think the Middle East will be looking to really start pumping a whole lot again. I think, you know, they'll look at this and say, hey, if crude could stay in the high 60s, that's a whole lot better than where we were last year. No reason to flood the market with oil and bring it back down to the 50s and 40s again. So I think crude stays up here. That should be good for corn. And it'd be even better as we head into spring and summer. If we stay at these production levels, we could see crude go up higher, and that would be a benefit for corn and ethanol too. We're hearing a lot of blending, very good margins on that front. And I think that is about it. You know, in terms of like hedgers and options traders, I still like straddles and new crop corn. I still like put spreads in the soybean market. I think with wheat, you just want to do everything on the cash side. And, you know, and then for the dollar looks bullish. The stock market seems kind of iffy up around here. And crude is going to stay strong. So we'll see what happens. The market's going to give us some opportunities here in the next couple of weeks. And I don't know if it's going to be bullish or bearish, but there's a lot of storylines starting to form up in the grain markets. And I think the one thing I want to do before the WASD report in May is make sure that we have some long exposure to the corn market. You know, whether we're getting long futures or maybe we're just, you know, bull spreading, dece, buying some sheep calls as we head into that. Some way to put on a little bit of risk for a reward on a bullish surprise. So that's what we'll be writing about. That's what we'll be talking about. Hope everyone had a great day. Have a great week. Good luck with your trading. And if you ever need anything from me or you want to talk about what we do here, feel free to give a call or shoot an email. All right, thanks very much.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principles, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors, such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore, investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniel's Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniel's Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.